And we turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 30 and verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. This morning I began with laying a foundation of John 3:16 before expounding the passage. I want to lay a foundation this afternoon from Romans 3 before expounding the passage, so that we may understand the Bible perspective. And we read in Romans 3, and it's in Psalms 14 and 53, there is none righteous, no, not one. So from the outset with me, we must understand that self-righteousness is in error. There is none righteous, no, not one. I did battle with this text in my early days as a Christian. I couldn't really believe that it is true. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Weren't there people who sought after God? Weren't there many people who understand that God created the world and ruled it, and they wanted to know him and wanted to love him? There is none that doeth good. No, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is a description of how we are as we are born, in our natural state, before we are converted. I used not to think that was fair. Is there none that doeth good? When people about who did good things, this idea that there was no exception, that there was no one righteous, that there wasn't even one. And the Lord led me to understand that here the Bible is dealing with ultimates as God sees them. Whereas I was thinking in terms of comparing one person with another. I'm good, you're not. Some are better than me, some are worse than me. But that argument, you see, does not hold with God. None of us are good. No, not one. It therefore follows that to look at other people and think, oh, they're horrible, or they're terrible, or they're not very nice, or whatever it is, these things are not for us to do because we're no better. There are other people who think the same about us. And we have to think how God looks at us. How God, not how we look. And even to the nicest people, God says there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is no fear of God before their eyes. It's how we're born. That's how we are. We don't see it like that. And this is what brings me to the text. So we're in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. and yet is not washed from its filthiness. Their own eyes tell them, I'm a good bloke, I'm a good girl, I do this, I do that. Just like the Pharisee in Jesus' parable. Now, he told that Pharisee that story because there were some that thought themselves to be righteous, with its consequence that they despised others. Have you thought of that? It does follow that if you think comparatively, I am better than so-and-so, it will follow that you despise others. So Jesus taught that parable, and he taught that the one who cried out to the Lord for help because he didn't think he was any good, he knew he was no good, was the one that went down to his home justified. And I take justified in that place to have its full meaning. The Lord had forgiven him. He was guiltless. His sins had been blotted out. Here was a man then that was pure in his own eyes. And that's how it works out. I'm sure we remember when we were pure in our own eyes. Young people, of course, grow up in homes and they are desired by God to honour their father and mother. But of course, they think that how their family does things is right. The things that they're brought up doing, so if they're brought up a Muslim, that has to be right. And it has a power to bind. And the ways in which we are brought up mould us so powerfully that we think that it has to be right. We're pure in our own eyes. Now that expression, in thine own eyes, is often used by the book of Proverbs. As we look at things, we are pure. As we look at things, well, Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. However, the verse continues, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. In our own eyes, before we're converted, we're clean, we're all right. We're as good as anybody else, better than some and perhaps worse than others. But God weigheth the spirits. What about those things that we've done we shouldn't have done? Well, that's all right. I hope they'll outweigh the bad things. But it only needs one sin to put us out of the Lord's presence. And that sin must be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it also says in Proverbs 26:12, a man who is wise in his own conceit, there is more hope of a fool than of him. So if we're still thinking that we are pure in our own eyes, we've got it wrong. And there's no hope. We are foolish. We've got it so wrong that we're like fools. So here's our psalm. Here's our proverb. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. It is a perpetual generation. As long as the human race exists, there will be people like this. For that's how we're born. We are pure in our own eyes. As we look at our lives, we're pure. Think when you were a child, how the minute anything was said against you, you sought to justify yourself. You jumped to your defence. However that defence was, depends what the thing was that you were accused of. But you see, we're wise as we see things. We're wise as we look at things. But the generation that is wise in its own eyes is only looking comparatively, comparing ourselves with one another. We are not wise. Why should we compare ourselves with others? If they're going to hell, why should we go with them? We need to know what the Lord is thinking about us. He weighs our spirit. He knows every thought of the heart. He knows every jealousy. He knows every envy. He knows every disobedience, every dishonor upon parents, every lying, every stealing. He knows every failure to keep his day. And that is searching. But we think we're all right. There's a generation that never gets saved, that is always going to believe that it is right, that they are right, and other people are always wrong. But it's God who weighs the spirits. It's interesting that the Saviour, when he was here on earth, welcomed the poorest, welcomed the woman, for example, at the well, who had five husbands, and the one she had now wasn't her husband. His glory is shown, not always, he does it in other ways, but his glory is shown by changing even the worst. But not while they think they're good. And Jesus' time with the woman at the well was spent showing her that she was not good. She mattered to the Saviour. The Lord was going to work his work upon her. But in and of herself as she was brought up a Pharisee. Sorry, she was brought up a Samaritan. She thought that their way was the right. You Jews do it one way, we do it another. That's fine. And that's the way. Our way is always right. Our way is to be stuck by. Our way is to be disloyal. I can't imagine how terrible it is to be a Muslim who converts to Christianity and the family is always against them. When I came out of the Baptist Union, the president of my college, the senior lecturer there, he rang me up and told me I was a blackguard. A scab. Just because I didn't stay with the general teaching of the college. What must it be like for those who don't stay with the religion in which they were brought up, who don't worship idols like the family's been brought up, or who do worship in another way. But we're bound to do it by nature. And unless we seek that the Lord should weigh our spirit, ask him what the reality of our hearts are, for we are all fallen. There is none righteous, no, not one, in God's estimation. This is what God says. There is a generation that is pure in their own eyes and is not washed from their filthiness. Strange. I suppose as a boy I didn't mind being dirty, really. Seemed okay to me, but it wasn't very nice to others. And it's something like that, that there is a generation, that there's a whole swathe of mankind that thinks they're all right, but they're filthy. They've not been washed. If they want to steal, they steal. If they want to lie, they lie. If they want to get onto somebody, they get onto somebody. There's no restraining power of God. There's no thinking about what God would like them to do. There's no thinking about what is the right way to react in these situations. They do not know it. They do not care. They've been brought up in a particular way. In their own eyes, they've got it right. But they're filthy. Sorry. There are evil thoughts of one sort or another, which are good for a pastor to list. He doesn't know them anyway, many of them. But there are things in our minds that make sure even the best of us. You probably had the experience relevant to this. I don't know, you may not have had the experience. I wouldn't like the things that I have done to be publicly known. They're all right, but I wouldn't like the things that I've done to be publicly known. Now, I was an expert in this. In those days when there was no mobile phones, we were just given a paper of the days when there would be teachers' meetings with the parents. I never gave one to my parent, never. As far as I know, she never went to a teachers' meeting. And I had good reason. I didn't want her to know how bad I was at school, but I didn't want the teachers to know how bad I was at home. Now, I don't know if you've ever had anything even akin to that experience. But if we're not washed, and what we've done and said and thought is exposed on Judgment Day, could you face that? To those in Revelation 3, verse 17, this is what the Lord says along the same line. Here then is the church at Laodicea. I'll begin at verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And now comes the generation that thinks they're right in their own eyes, but doesn't see things like God sees them. Because thou sayest, Revelation 3:17, because thou sayest, I'm rich, I am increased with goods. I have need of nothing. I sometimes think about Aaron when we read that. And what does God say? You do not know that you are wretched, that you are miserable, that you are poor and blind and naked. So man can think one thing, can think he's wealthy, can think he's satisfied, can think everything's fine. God looks at him another way and says, you don't know how wretched you are. Hell is in prospect. You don't know how miserable you are. You don't know what real happiness is in Christ. You're poor, oh, rich in things, but poor in your relationship with God. You're blind. You do not know the truth, though you think you know everything. You're naked, though you think you wear expensive clothes. So what do I advise? What does God advise? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. The word of God is pure, sevenfold pure, perfectly tried. But it's the Saviour who is being referred to. But the Saviour fulfills all the things that are in the Word. He speaks his Word, and everything he says comes from him and shares the same attribute. Buy of me gold tried in the fire. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to him. He had no sin. He was without sin. He came to bear the punishment of your sin. Turn to him. The blood he shed on Calvary was death instead of the death that you deserved. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. We're rich, aren't we? We're not, none of us really rich, but we're rich, aren't we? we belong to Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. We shall see the living God. Our sins have been blotted out. What more could we want? Except that I haven't listed them all. Buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. Why? Because you're a sinner. You have done things that are improper, things that are not right, either to think about or to perform. Buy white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. What is this white raiment? It's the covering of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ being imparted to those who believe. How the Lord loves it that there are those who believe in his Son for the right reasons, that he alone takes away their sin, and they know they're sinners, and they may be pronounced not guilty, wearing the pure righteousness of Christ. I counsel of thee, buy of me white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. You're blind. What would this eyesalve be? What would make you able to see? Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, having him as a basis for all your life. You think you are rich. You think you're increased with goods. You think you have need of nothing. You know not that you are wretched and miserable and poor and naked and blind. So here we see this great dichotomy. There is a generation that are pure, but while they are pure in their own eyes, they've not been washed. It's only in their eyes that they're pure. It's not how God observes them. They didn't realize what their nakedness was, what their filthiness was. They thought they had everything. And they know nothing of the whole realm of serving the Lord God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you belong to that generation? Do you belong to this thing that is the paramount sin of every generation? It's a description of the generation of those who've been born, but never born again, of how we are by nature. If there's not been a transformation and the renewing of our mind in Christ, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. We're going to sing a hymn soon which points us to the blood of Christ. It's the only means that by believing this, we can be made pure in the sight of God. It's not how we see it, it's how God sees it. And if he opens our eyes that we might see how he sees it, we may turn to the blood of Christ, bearing death instead of us, that his righteousness might become ours, that we might no longer have a false view of our own importance, a false view of our status before God. We may no longer have it said of us that there is no fear of God before our eyes. May the Lord bless us and help us and bring us to faith in himself for his dear name's sake. Amen.